Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. Just want to say thank you. What a blessed day. It is Easter weekend. What an honor to be here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is just absolutely wonderful. It's Easter weekend, and, you know, when you think about it, and it can get really deep. If you really think about it, I was into that mode yesterday as I drove around and looked into the clouds, and I saw some clouds that was just different. They looked different. And I thought about the third hour, it's around 3 o'clock, and they said usually it's the third hour when the skies open up, and when Jesus said, "It is finished." And when I looked into the clouds, there's something is different about these clouds. I couldn't really, I don't know what it was. I was looking for something just come out of the sky. It was just such, it was just different. It was a darkness in the sky, in the clouds. Looked like it wanted to rain. Light some places, but it was just formation of clouds that had presence that as I drove, I had to be mindful. You're driving, and I looked into those clouds, and I'm telling you, it was like it just opened up. It was opening up in the center. The formation was amazing, and I thought about Jesus hanging on that cross, and it's just the hour, because I've heard the Bible says the third hour. So I'm thinking the third hour is 3 o'clock. I guess third hour from 12 starting. So it was 3 o'clock, and I was just going through those things and thinking, what happened to him yesterday, and what happened to him last night, and where is he today? Because tomorrow he's supposed to rise. So when you're doing that and you're following, you know, this weekend should be a weekend where you really just, as Christians, just reflect back on his steps and what he went through at this point in time. You can imagine he's in hell fighting with Satan and making sure that everybody gets out and taking people where they're supposed to go. I'm not one that has a scholar. I'm just giving you my opinion and my thoughts that came through my head. You know, it may mean something, may not, but to someone else, and I want to make sure that I say that. That was just those are thoughts that was going through my head yesterday. And it was different from any other Easter weekend. You know, we think Easter and we think getting dressed. We think just going out there and looking pretty and wearing the beautiful dresses and the shoes and the flowers and, you know, hats and all that. And that really has nothing to do with what Jesus went down for. It's a celebration, yes, but it should be a celebration of, if nothing more than get someone to sit down and just think about it and follow his tracks. It will take you to an emotional space that you really would appreciate, that you are saved. If you're a Christian, you are saved and you're protected by his stripes. You're healed. And no matter what attack come against you, it will not be victorious because he's given us his word. And that in itself is the reason for this season this weekend on Easter to say thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Just a thought. You have yours. What are you thinking? How do you feel about this Easter weekend? Okay, I'm going to go in here. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Awesome.
Doing
awesome.
Wonderful.
Stay determined to be awesome as well, Dr. Fletcher. Just sitting here and listening to you give that reflection of your thoughts, resident and about what did go down so many years ago and how Christ did it all. And all we have to do is walk in his ways in order that we can show appreciation for all that he's done. He doesn't really ask for much, you know. Just walk in his ways and be and acknowledge him and admonish him for all that he's done. He wants us to acknowledge him and be an example for him because we are his legs and feet here on earth. And when we do that, when we're determined to walk in his ways, I think he is pleased with it. And tomorrow would be the day that he rose, according to Scripture. And according to Scripture, it is in all that he's done that we are free today to be in the family of God. So it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. It's not about the dresses. It's not about the eggs. It's about him dying on the cross so that we may have life and have it more abundantly, whatever that means for anyone. Everybody have their own definition of what that means with regards to how they see it with their mind, with their eyes and their minds. And so I think whatever you come to believe, in order to make sure that you have the right perspective about it, you have to study to show yourself approved. And then I think that's when we come into the appreciation of all that Christ did for us so many years ago. And then if you don't have the right perspective, of course, you're not going to be able to accept what has been taught. And so that's why God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So we come to believe based on what we've learned and not what someone has told us.
Amen. All right. Yep, that is it in a nutshell. I looked at people yesterday and everybody. I went out and thinking I could just run out to the store and pick up something and come back. And I got out there and everybody was moving around. I said, what in the world's going on? And I was like, oh, people are shopping for Easter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't shopped for Easter, in probably 30 years. Just, you know, my daughter got up, you know, you do those things for her, for the kids, and, you know, the people getting around. There's nothing wrong with shopping. Now, we're not saying that it is, but I'm just saying I didn't realize it, and boy, was it busy. And then, of course, people were off yesterday, too, so that was another thing, and they were enjoying their Friday. It was such a beautiful day coming out of last weekend's snow, and then all of a sudden you got 78 degrees. Everybody's running around excited, you know. It was just a beautiful weekend. All right, I'll be right back to you, Cynthia. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, audience. That's our co-host, Cynthia Oliver. We just got to talk, and I didn't introduce it. I'm just so caught up in what I was thinking, my thoughts. Again, for the newcomers coming on, again, good morning. And I have good news for you. God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world, and we welcome you here to the Roundtables on Blog Talk Radio, where we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world, literally around the world. We are based on Ezekiel 16:44. God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And I want you to think about that. Go to Ezekiel 16:44, read maybe the whole chapter, but just think about it. And it's not pretty when you read it. It's about the ugliness, and he showed the ugliness because anybody can see the beauty and the pretty in something, and it will not have an effect. But if you hear something really awful, it's going to have an stunning effect on your mind, because she's going to think, wow, how did that happen? I can't believe that happened. Whatever the case may be, it's going to affect you. You look at something beautiful, you say, oh, that was beautiful. And 9 times out of 10, you might think about it again, you may not. But if you, something happens that is so different, so strange, it should disturb your peace. So read Ezekiel 16:44. As is the mother, so is the daughter, meaning that when you go out and do things that are ungodly, you're putting your daughter at risk of doing the same thing because you've exposed her to that spirit of ungodliness. And the spirit of ungodliness, which is Satan, don't care who, can be a little baby, they'll go after, he'll go after whatever, as long as he can steal a soul. The younger, the better. That's what he wants. So you have to be careful so that you can protect your children. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Roundtables, talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Joining me is our co-host, Cynthia Oliver, here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, our number is 347-539-5078. You call somebody, text them if you're not driving, and just tell them to tune in. And, of course, if you want to listen to the radio show, any one of them at any given time, you can go to our website at mdbn.org to listen, mdbn.org, and listen to any of the old broadcasts and topics. And you can even listen to this one later on today. Our stimulating topic this morning is there should be no division between a mother and her daughter. Think about it. I mean, there should be no division between a mother and her daughter. So get your pen and paper, your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and we're going to talk about this. I'll give you my reflection on that topic according to the Holy Spirit, which he spoke to me about this morning. And then that'll give an opportunity. I'll go back to our co-host, Cynthia, and she'll tell us what she thinks, what the Holy Spirit is telling her. And if you're thinking anything, you want to click one, you can. You know, a lot of y'all moving around. A lot of people listening to it later. But if you really want to get in contact with me, if you have a question, you can always email me at drbessie1, that's drbessie, the number one, at gmail.com. That's drbessie1 at gmail.com. drbessie, the number one, at gmail.com. Again, we come to bring you good news. And good things are happening in 2018. And some of these things we'll catch you up on in a week or so that will enlighten you, because we're working on the newsletter now. We finish our webpage for the Bible College, and I'm going to do an introduction. We're just going to start sending that out through the internet to our friends on Facebook, and we're going to start doing the marketing in a couple of weeks once we get the newsletter up and it's flooding the whole thing out, so that everybody can get basically the information at the same time. Our stimulating topic again today is there should be no division between a mother and a daughter. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about mothers and daughters having faith in God. And before that, we talked about a mother and daughter being doers of the word. You know, you got to be a doer of the word. And how can you be a doer of the word if you don't have faith in God? You know, all those things tie in. It's all going right back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus came for one reason. He didn't come to save the world. You know, people say, oh, he came. No, he came to save God's people. He came to save us as a human, to protect us out of the hands of Satan. The world and all these things will remain here. That's why we can't take anything with us. When you leave here, I don't care how rich you are, how many possessions you have, how much land you think you own, which you don't own, because it's the earth, and the earth belongs to God. No man owns land. He allow you to build a stick house on this land. He allow you to create a car, a phone, television, internet. He allow us to do these things. But he said, with all of that, those are things that are added to you, but when you leave, you cannot bring those with you. And he's even saying to us, as much as your body carries your spirit around. Your body cannot enter when you leave. Your body must stay on the earth. The spirit will leave the body. So that tells you things means nothing when he created the body, and he's not going to allow the body to come. He's going to say, body, you stay. The body goes back to the earth from which it came. But the spirit will leave the body. So if the body is left, you know your car, your house, your little diamonds, your little whatever it is you got going on in there, your little trinkets that your mom left, your great-grandmama left, and you just worship and don't want nobody to touch it. Nobody can enjoy what you have. You know, it's too precious to share with anybody else. And what happens? You leave here and it's here, and most people don't even want it. Children, your children will take them and give them the Goodwill or sell them or whatever because they don't really want it. It all has the prized possession in your own eyesight, and then we make those idol gods. Because then we stop worshiping the little things that we have that we think that we're going to live here forever and have those little things. And when he said, don't set up treasure here on earth because moth and rust and, you know, things will take it away from you here on earth, but, you know, set up treasures in heaven so that when you get there, nothing shall touch what you put in heaven, meaning that you should have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can have a relationship with God. That's the most awesome thing about Jesus Christ on that cross, is that because of him hanging on that cross, because of him going through what he went through, you're going through right now, just say right now, if it's reenacted right now, because of what he's going through, you are able to talk to God. Now think about that. That's powerful. You are able to talk to God. Before Jesus, only a very few prophets could talk to God. And God stopped speaking to people for about 400 years. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine not being able to talk to God. I've been talking to God since I was five. I mean, think about it. He's been talking to you, whether you remember it or not. But just think if there's a silence and you cannot, and those of us who are Christians who read the word and then sit back and the Holy Spirit shares something with you and you go, wow, oh my God, that's awesome, Holy Spirit. Look at you. Oh my goodness. You know, we go like, ooh, because, you know, it just takes you to a different level of a deeper understanding. That's why you say you get wisdom, but get understanding. And when you get that understanding, that revelation from that understanding, you go like, oh my God. It's just like, it just lifts you up and you just feel so enlightened and so smart and so aware because you have just received some magnificent truth, the reality from God himself. What an experience. I can't imagine not having that. Like David said, oh my God, Lord, of all the things that you can do to me, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because David was one of the people that God spoke to. And even though he did wrong, he knew he could not even imagine living without being able to talk to God. Once you've talked to God, once you know God, and then can you imagine not talking? I could see David running, falling. He ran, he got dressed, and when he got dressed, he, you know, he came back and he laid prostrate and he said, you know, God, God, please. He begged him, please forgive me. I repent. Oh, my God, please, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And I could only imagine what that felt like. And as gracious as he was, God said David was a man after his own heart. Why? Because no matter what wrong David did, David was quick to repent. David was quick to repent. If he did something wrong, he went straight to God. But think about it, all the people that in his era that didn't have that relationship with God couldn't even go to God. Somebody else is going to have to sacrifice an animal's blood to present for you and your sins. And suppose the person decides, well, I don't feel like it today. I don't want to do it. Well, then you just kind of stuck. And I can imagine some of that happened because, I mean, they were all in a human body. They were all humans. They, you know, some days, you know, we've seen where some of the prophets have gotten angry. So I'm like, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that now. Now they're getting on my nerves. Moses got upset and hit the rock when God told him not to. I'm just not. They're getting on my nerves. But then he says, I got to do something about this. I've got to do something about this. I can't have man and his decision determining the life of my people. So I've got to do something that will save everybody, will give everybody a chance to save themselves. So that's why you don't need a pastor. That's why you don't need a priest. That's why you don't need no good buddy. That's why you don't need nobody but the word of God, and you can go to God for yourself. So now you don't have no excuse, mothers and daughters. You don't have no excuse to blame anybody why you are not in a relationship with God or why you something's happening and they didn't go to God for you. Yes, we may tell people to pray for us. I don't really ask people to pray for me. I don't need nobody to pray for me. I will ask you to stand with me in a prayer, and then I'm mindful of that because people will forget. They'll say, yeah, I'm praying with you. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then they forget. Or you could be praying with somebody standing. Y'all could be holding hands and praying, and that person's mind, intro conversations can start going on elsewhere. Oh, Lord, I got to get out of here. I got to go to the market. I've got a doctor appointment. I'm supposed to call so-and-so. So they're having an intro conversation. They're not thinking about what you're saying. And we'll say amen. When you say amen, yeah, amen. Girl, I'm standing for you. That's not a connection. He said when two or more come together. Two or more come together means when the mind is set on the same thing at the same time and believing it. Therefore, it shall be. I'm in the midst. But just because you're standing with somebody, just because you're holding their hands or sitting there in their presence, don't mean that they're with you. With you meaning the same mind, same spirit, same time, and that's hard to find. You're going to have a concentrated twosome in order to do that. That's why when you got a prayer partner that you know that's a prayer partner, stick with that. So that's what Jesus is bringing to each and every one of us. Salvation. You come to me, I'm on the cross, I'm paying the price, I have the stripes, so therefore you're healed. I have the suffering, spitting on him, hitting him, taking his clothes off, just humiliating him. And he did all of that so that we can have a relationship with God, so that we wouldn't have to go through anybody but him, who is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, who will stand in the same mindset, same spirit that you were in your faith. That's why he said, do you believe? Once you believe, you and Jesus are on the same page. You have an open door to walk to the Father. How awesome is that? You don't have to worry about him changing. You don't have to worry about if he's with you or one in his mind someplace else. He's trying to think, well, what I'm going to have to do next? No. Once you believe and call upon his name, you connect. And once you connect, you have full range. Whatever you want, 24 hours a day, 86,400 seconds in a day that you can talk to God. Because now you are saved, you've connected with Jesus Christ, and you have the authority and the permission to go before the Father in his name. The Holy Spirit must be wanting me to say that because that was not a part of our topic. And that was not a part of what I wrote down. Whew, but I hope you got it. So again, our topic this morning, there should be no division. between a mother and her daughter. A daughter is connected to a mother at conception and stays connected throughout the 9-month period, not unless the mother decides to have an abortion or something physical happens to the baby before the end of the 9-month cycle. So let's say, like in most cases, the baby is born healthy. You know, 9 times out of 10, 8 out of 10, most babies are born healthy. And she starts her life journey by being passed from the doctor's hand to her mother. Now, at that point, there should be no division between the mother and her daughter. It starts at that point when the doctor puts the baby in the mother's arm. From that point on, there should be no division between that mother and that daughter. Now, when the mother decides, I'll go back and I'll repeat that. At what point should there be a division between a mother and a daughter? Excuse me. At what point? Let's just look at this. When a mother decides that she doesn't want her anymore, or when the mother decides that she's too tired to spend quality time with her, or when the daughter decides that she doesn't want to listen to the mother anymore. Those are just 3 points to get a conversation started. But if you notice, 2 out of the 3 I pointed out the mother first. Why? Because the mother is responsible for setting the temperament of the daughter during the first 9 months. And after the first 9 months, she is to introduce the daughter to the father. But think about it. And you say, well, she's too young. Let me show you what I'm, let me just kind of go into that just a little bit. After the first 9 months, the mother introduced her to the temperaments of the world. You could introduce your child to the temperaments of the world. You can introduce your 9-month-old to the one-day-old because she's come through the 9 months process, and the first day she's introduced to you and her father. Then she's introduced to the world and the temperaments of the world, meaning grandparents, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, nurses, people that's just walking past her in the grocery store, and everybody, oh, look at her, isn't she cute? Stop and touch her, look at her, oh, she's just precious. And she's looking at you, and she's seeing these different temperaments and the different styles. And the baby is more sensitive than most adults because we are null and dull and void of connection to the spirit. She is so fresh, such a spirit that just entered into a world that she's observing how individuals are interacting, and she's looking at those temperaments. Some she may pick up on, and some may attach themselves to her. So if you can introduce your baby to their grandmother and their grandfather, their brother and sister, you can introduce your baby to God. How many times the mother come home with the baby and sit down and bring the older child and say, this is your brother, this is your sister, and the baby kisses, and her name is, and the baby kisses, the older child kisses the baby, and can I hold her, and you talk about her, and, you know, of course, they've said for the 9 months, when is the baby coming, and so everybody's excited, but then we wait weeks, sometimes months, if at all, to introduce the baby to God, to reconnect the baby to God in this temperamental world. And that's when they go for a christening. Which is, well, we're going to have the christening when she's 3 months old. Well, she's 3 months into a lot of sin. Why not do it immediately? Why not go ahead and do it what it's like you would introduce her to her older brother, her older sister. And some people never dedicate that child back to God. That's the first introduction. You think the baby don't know? Baby's smart, like I tell you. You can try to feed a three-month-old peas, and she says, I don't want it. You can put it in her mouth. She'll spit it back out. What are you going to do? You can't make her eat it. You can't even hold her throat and say you're going to eat it because then you choke her. So what are you going to do? You say, well, she doesn't like that. You stop feeding it after a while because she's just not going to take it. But she's very smart. She comes here connected. It's our job to introduce our daughters back to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the word division. Division means to separate, it's a detachment, it's a splitting up. At what point in time, I always, when I'm speaking to mothers and daughters, and as a Christian clinical psychologist, when I'm in session and mothers are saying, you know, I'm just so sick of that girl, she's getting on my nerves, I just don't know what else to do with her, I'm just through. I'm like, at what point in time you as a mother can say you through with a child? At what point in time do you decide that you're not going to be a mother anymore? Or that you're not going to be responsible for the child anymore? I don't care if she's 40 years old. I don't care if she's 50 years old. If you're still on this earth and you're the mother, you're still the mother. You're still responsible. At no point in time do you get to get off of the role of being the mother. You don't get that privilege. You can't separate from a child in which God has given to you. How are you going to detach yourself from your child? Many try to do it, but the good thing about it, God got you. He got you connected at the spirit and at your heart. And no matter how you try to pretend that you're tired of this girl or you're tired of your mother and you don't want to have anything to do with her anymore, you know, you're not fooling anybody because she lives in your heart. And no matter where you go, you're thinking about her. And you can have all the fun you want. You can drink, smoke, do drugs, take pills, do anything you want to kill those thoughts. But there's a moment when there's a time when you by yourself, it's going to peek right up. The head's going to come right up, looking right at you. It's going to look right at you. And your thoughts going to go directly to your mother or that daughter. You can't escape it. But see, the enemy wants you to say, oh, you don't need her. No, you don't need her. But you can't get rid of her. You can't get rid of her because God chose you as the daughter for that mother and chose you, mother, as the mother for that daughter. And nothing, he said, nothing that I put together, nothing can separate it. And people take that and use that in marriage real quickly. You know, God says whatever he put to join together that no man can take away. But, you know, did God join you together? Come on now. We know he joined a mother and daughter. There's no doubt in your mind. Anybody that have any thought about God whatsoever in creation know that God created the mother, God created the daughter, and he chose. We don't get to choose who our mothers are going to be. We don't get to choose who our daughters are going to be. God decides. And he's going to choose the one for you. She may test you. Why? Look at your life. What did you demonstrate to her? Is she reflecting back on you, what you reflect on her as a child? Where did she get it from? No matter what the challenges are, that's your daughter that God chose for you. And for mothers who don't have daughters, that's your son that God chose for you. You don't get to disconnect. You don't get to throw them away. As long as you're on this earth, that relationship is going to remain. And hopefully, if you do the right thing, it will remain in heaven. There should never be a division between a mother and her daughter. Their relationship was ordained by God. They are to journey through this earth together, and they are to reconnect in heaven. And you say, how can that be? The mother has the responsibility of having a relationship with God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then she is to teach her daughter to have a relationship with God by first introducing her to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. See, that's our responsibility. We got to get that right. But if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you won't be able to teach that to your daughters. You just can't give what you don't have. But God is looking for us as mothers to be the role model, to be the one to introduce the next generation to Him. And if you're not doing that, you're doing God a disservice. You should be able to sit down and talk to your daughter and have conversations about God. I'm telling you, I love it with my daughter. We talk about God, and I learned so much from her. She learned so much from me. It's not that either one of us say we're the expert. I don't try to be the expert because I'm the mother, because I'm no expert at all. I'm not an expert in anything. It's only the Holy Spirit that showed me things. Anything I want to know, I ask the Holy Spirit. And He'll show it to me. And not only me, He'll show it to you. He'll show it to anybody that asks. No one asks for wisdom or knowledge and don't get it. God said that. So if you don't know something and you don't ask, well, then shame on you. Because He said, no one. He didn't say you had to be a Christian. He didn't say you have to be all perfect. He said, no man asks for wisdom and don't get it. You ask, you will receive wisdom. Because how would you know to go to Jesus? How would you know? I know they said, except for a preacher. Someone has got to talk about it. But if you hear, but if you ask, Lord, I don't understand all this. Would you help me? Holy Spirit will start showing you things. But you got to be willing to read. You got to be willing to do something. Now, you just can't just sit there and not participate. Read the Word. You start reading the Word of God, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will start showing you things. You start asking questions. He'll show you something else. Then He'll lead you to something. He'll bring somebody across your path. Just things will start happening in your life. Your life will start changing around, and all of a sudden you're living in a world that you never even thought or imagine could happen. Because what? You made a decision to seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things I will add to you. So don't worry about things. Seek the kingdom, and He'll take care of the things that you need. It may not be what you think you want at the time, but it'll be what you can handle. Sometimes we want more than we can handle, because when I say that, it means that if you get a lot, then you may get off the grid. You may get off course from what God wants you to learn or where He wants you to be. He's just trying to get you to a point. You can always get stuck. But are you ready to handle it? Will you continue your journey with Him? Or will you get so caught up in the stuff you think, I've arrived, I've made it? No. He would rather save that soul and not give you the stuff as to give you the stuff and lose your soul. So He's working on your behalf. So that brings me to a thought. That's why most of us that have been around for more than 20 years, I would say, can remember our mothers and our grandmothers having us kneel down beside the bed each night before we went to sleep to pray and to thank God. And we would thank Him in the name of Jesus. We would say the Our Father prayer. I can remember most mothers taught their children the Our Father prayer and talked to them about God. Now, kids play with their phone, the internet, They're on television. They go to bed when they want. Half the time, the parents in bed. The children are still up 1 or 2 o'clock, and they're sleeping. I'm going to bed because I got to get up in the morning. Now, you better turn that light off and go to bed. They go to bed and go to sleep, and the child up there to whatever hour, nobody is kneeling beside the bed. Nobody. Just let the child just go. That's our responsibility. That's the teaching. And once you kneel on your knees and say your prayers, something is in that child. Will grow up. And you cannot go very long without kneeling on your knees praying before God, because you've been taught that. You were raised that from the time you could bend your knees. Little. Beside the bed. And you would pray. That doesn't leave you. We've got to get back to that. What happened to that? Somewhere along the line, mothers, we stop introducing our daughters to their Heavenly Father through their Savior. How will they know unless they are taught? And how are they taught unless their mothers teach them? It's our responsibility. At what point is there a separation, a detachment, or a split up between a mother and daughter that God is pleased with? And when you think about that, you might want to reassess how you're handling your relationship with God. You don't have the option. I don't have the option. There is no split. All right, I'm going to the switchboard. I tell you, happy Easter. God is moving. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher.
Okay,
good morning, audience. We're back.
This is, I was going to say, yeah, I was just going to say, audience, this is our co-host Cynthia Oliver. And Cynthia, the topic this morning is at what point? You're talking about a division. There should be no division between a mother and her daughter. And what stemmed from that, I was reading last night in 1 Corinthians where the division in the church where Paul was writing, and that's 1 Corinthians 1:16, where Paul wrote to the church and said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. And this morning when I got up and I was saying to the Holy Spirit, I said, well, Holy Spirit, what you want to talk about? He brought me back to the thing that I read just before I closed my eyes. There should be no division between a mother and a daughter. And I was like, wow, because that's what Paul was saying to the church. You know, he says, they tell him, well, Paul said, he said, well, Paul, I'm not your savior. Don't use me. Go with the word of God. And God said there should be no division in the church. So the church being the body, then I'm a church, my daughter's a church, you're a church, then there should be no division. We should all agree. So that's how that thought came about this morning. What are your thoughts on that, Cynthia?
It goes to what I had a one-on-one parenting yesterday with a young lady, and I said to her that if I had to make a recommendation for her to get her children back, that I wouldn't be able to make that recommendation, because there has been not a separation of heart, but there is a separation of know-how, if you will. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm looking up, as you were talking, led to Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The next verse, Proverbs talks about, and that's Matthew 18:10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." And so when I was talking to her yesterday, and I see the hurt, I see the pain, and I actually had her write a letter. Her mom is deceased, and she actually read that letter before me on yesterday. And there is so much hurt. There's so much pain, even, and her mom is deceased. So there is a physical separation or division, if you will. But the heart is there. As she read that letter, she started to cry. And she said, despite the fact that she was separated from her mother, she was always trying to find her mother. And at the age of 9, she ran away from her grandmother to go and find her mother. And she found her mother. And unfortunately, her mother was not ready to be the mother that she needed. So her mother ended up kind of swapping her off with men to get her needs or her desires met, if you will. And so she finds herself doing the very same thing to her children that her mother did to her. She has been absent. She has a 7-year-old and she has a 4-year-old, and she has been absent from these children as long as they pretty much been here. She has them for what they have. I think she said she sent her oldest child to live with her grandmother when he was 3. And she said, even though she was separated from her mother when she was 3, do you see the pattern here? She has also
a mother,
been separated
so
from her. She has been separated. But she realized yesterday as she was reading that letter and she started to cry, she realized that her mother never left her like she had originally had in her heart, that her father actually took her from her mother. And so though she was separated from her at the age of 3, in spirit she was never separated because she was always seeking her mother. And then when her mother passed away, she started to seek the sisters of her mother in order to feel that closeness. And unfortunately, all of the sisters had the same lifestyle as her mother. And so it just went from bad to worse for this little girl. But it just goes to show, no matter how much in space you're separated from your mother, you're never separated from spirit. And she said that actually we sat there and we read Ezekiel 1460, she read the entire passage from 1644 all the way to the end, and she says as she was growing up, she would hear people say, "You just like your mama." And she said, "How can that be? I never even really knew my mother except for the couple of times I ran away to be with her." And so she said she wouldn't get angry over the fact that people said that, but it made her more curious because people kept her mother name before them. She wanted to be just like her mother.
Well, see, it goes back to why I tell people they shouldn't put a word on somebody. She probably would have never, she could have gone more toward her grandmother temperament. But the fact that they kept saying you just like your mother, that's why I say you have to be careful when you tell people who they are and what they're going to be. Because the devil just waiting on that. And so she heard it, and she didn't know how she could be like her because she didn't know it to be like her. But see, the enemy already knows that spirit, and the enemy delivers the spirit. I mean, you know, so any evil delivered to anybody is through a word that, you know, he can't do anything. He rides on a word. And so you have to be very careful, and that's what happened. They spoke the word over that child, and that child heard that word and said, "Well, okay, they must know my mother. I can't see it." But then somewhere along the line, she accepted that. And once she accepted it, it gave Satan a key to open that door.
And that's exactly the discovery that she came across on yesterday as we sat there and read Ezekiel 16. And so we ended up wrapping up the session with her having a different mindset about her, judging her mother. Because I say, after all that we read today, we not only read that, we read how and what an acceptable mother is as far as being able to rear children in the ways of God. And so by the time she walked away from the two-hour class yesterday, she had a new way of thinking with regards to what she needs to do in order to be the mother that she wants to be to her children. And so I told her, babe, the word is the only thing that's going to change you so you can be that mother that you want to be. Don't take what I say. Don't take what people say. You have to. It starts right now. It starts right now, you reading the word. It starts right now, you going back and getting the pieces to gain the understanding that you need in order that you can become all that God would have you to be in the lives of these children. So no, if I had to write a letter right now for you to get your children back because you're not stable in your ways, I would not recommend for you to get your children back. And this goes back to a conversation that we had with another young lady that she was perturbed about the letter that I wrote for her caseworker. I write what I see, because if you're not stable in your ways, you'll go back and get these children and you'll hurt them more because they can't trust you to be there.
That's true.
Yes, God gave them to you, and you are responsible for these babies. But if you're not stable and you're in and you're out of their lives, you're hurting them more. And I told her the chances of your children sitting on this very chair in prison where you are right now is huge. Yes, they're boys and you're a woman. It says ask the mother, so it's the daughter. Your influence or your lack of influence on your children is huge as a mother. So your children have a great chance of repeating the cycle, despite the fact that they're boys, because you were never there for them.
That is true. Audience,
so
anybody wants to click, wants to participate? I'm sorry, I was just saying, audience, if anybody else wants to participate, please click. Go right ahead, I'm sorry.
You okay? But as I was reading these scriptures this morning, it was just interesting as to what it is that you were saying with regards to the responsibility of the mother. But when you don't know, you can't do. And you said that. When you don't know any better, you can't do any better. And mothers, I promise you, is not an excuse, because you have no excuse. When God has entrusted you with children, you have a responsibility to learn how to be what you need to be for them.
And
yes,
and that's,
you can continue
to
blame your mama, but it's not going to wash without daddy.
When you say daddy, you have to clarify that.
Our heavenly father.
Okay, because people might think the physical daddy. What really got to me in this conversation this morning, when the Holy Spirit was talking to me about it, when he said, "Remember when mothers used to introduce their children to God," and he took me back, and if it wasn't a mother and they were staying with grandmother, or even if you were staying with your mother and the mother didn't do it and you get to your grandmother would say, "You get a spanking." Back in my day, you get in that bed without saying your prayers. My mother would put me beside the bed and we'd say the prayers together, but it got to the point where I was old enough that, you know, I knew the Lord's Prayer, and say, you know, she says, "Okay, before you go to bed, say your prayers." And sometimes I would fall asleep before saying my prayers, and I would wake up with mother spanking me. "I didn't hear you say your prayers," you know, because I could drop to sleep. I tell people I could drop to sleep at a drop of
hat and boom, go to sleep. And she said, did you say your prayers? And I'm still like, what? And I would forget. It was something that you had an option. You couldn't forget to say your prayers. Because, see, she would be listening to see if I'm going to say my prayers. And sometimes I get on my knees and just fall asleep right there, kneeling down to say my prayers but not say it. And she's standing over me, and I'm sleeping. Because what? It was mandatory that you say your prayers. You dare not get into that bed without praying. Because it was, to me, it was like, that was your protection. If you get in that bed without praying, the devil can come and take you. That's the kind of fear I had. Because it was like my mother, I mean, she was just adamant about it. And of course, my grandmother. And I tell people, if you're 20 years or more, most of us was raised on our knees saying the prayer. Very few people. And I'm not saying people not doing it. But the masses, you know, Christians, we do it because we know. But then a lot of us go to church, mothers and daughters, and we go to church and we spend that hour and we think, okay, well, I've got my points, blinded points for this week. And you go on. But it's still, you got to come back and be a doer. It takes us back to being a doer of the word and then being able to pass that on to your children. So at some point, we've got to start back introducing our children, our grandchildren, putting them on their knees and letting them know that you have a father. You have someone that created you. And he has a son that had came like this weekend to demonstrate, not the bonnies, not the little bunny rabbits and the little bonnets and all that kind of stuff. Talk to them about what this weekend means. Even if they don't know any better, you think they can receive, because the spirit is the spirit, and the spirit never dies, and the spirit is aware of all things. Now, that's just my take on that piece of it.
Well, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I can truly say I wasn't reared with that. I don't ever remember my grandmother doing that with us. I just don't remember her ever doing that. She made sure that we went to church with our neighbors, but I truly don't believe, I don't remember my grandmother going to church. But I know she was a woman of faith because of the life that she lived. And so as I grew older, and I have been in church my entire life, being in church don't guarantee that we're going to get what we need with regards to guidance, with regards to our mothers. But I do tell you this about the experience. If I had never been introduced to church, I don't think I would be where I am right now. And I knew about God as far as I can remember. But I never knew about Jesus until I was 31 years old when I accepted him. I don't even ever remember being taught Jesus until I accepted Jesus when I was 31 years old. So, mothers, we do miss it. We miss it, but it's not too late. I have grown sons now, and I always tell my sons to pray. And I always, as I was moving closer to Christ, I would always pray and lift their names up to Christ one by one, name by name. Even my stepsons, I've always gotten in the habit when I pray for my children, I pray for my stepsons and my godson. I lift their name up to God in order that they move closer to him. Because that's that's the prayers of a mother. That's what we are to do for our children if we missed it. You can pray unto them. But here's the thing, mother. When they become
We have 60 seconds. 60 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead. We got to round it up.
Of the adult age, you can no longer pray for them. You can pray with them. And so you have an opportunity right now at their age, whatever their age are, to pray with them so they can move closer to our Lord and Savior. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we have 60 seconds. We have 30 seconds now. Yeah, well, that's it right there. You know, like I tell mothers and daughters, you know, if you can't get with them, they can't get out of your reach because you connected to their spirit. And when you connected to their spirit, they can't stop you from loving them. They can't stop you from praying for them. They can't stop you from lifting them up. And as mothers, that's what we do. That's what God is expecting us to do. And because he said, I bless you, your children, and your children's children,
God will bless them in spite of themselves. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Audience, that's our show. Today, remember, this is Easter weekend. Don't just think about what you can wear to church tomorrow. Spend some time and think about what happened yesterday. Like I told you yesterday, at 3 o'clock, the skies was different. I could see something was happening. We know that Jesus was crucified yesterday. We know that he was buried. We know that he went to hell. He's probably demonstrating that today and then rising on Sunday morning when you go back and reflect in your mind. Think of those things. And when you think of that, you'll be so grateful to know because of Jesus, we can talk to the Father. We can go to God directly because Jesus provided that for us. As we thank him on this day in remembrance of what he's done, we are free, we're saved from hell and from the lake of fire. So have a great weekend.
Amen.
And enjoy the rest of the Easter weekend. And know there should be no division between a mother and their daughter. Thank you, Cynthia. It's been a weekend. Thank you, audience. You all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.